God's the ultimate disposer. Thine is the power. You can't say that while you're afraid of people. Forever and ever, if my view of life is marked only by the dimensions of earth, I can't pray that. Amen. Unless I'm adding, in parenthesis, whatever the cost, I don't really mean amen. So the prayer demands a great deal. Where's the gospel in this prayer? Oh, the gospel's in this prayer. The prayer is a miniature Bible. Begins with God, ends with God, forgiveness of sins in the middle. Deliverance from all evil toward the end. It's a little Bible. You got protology and eschatology and soteriology. They're all there. Now, Father, that's why the Bible begins. Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. That's why the Bible ends. The middle, the cross. The forgiveness of sins. Thine is the kingdom. Christ was the autobasilia, which is a Greek word that means the kingdom in himself. With Christ the kingdom came. Sin, our great enemy, is a burden upon us, a tyrant over us, a traitor within us. At the cross he dealt with all of them. That's why we can pray, Father, forgive us our trespasses. There's the burden of sin gone. When we see with Martin Luther that it's our privilege to say, mine are Christ living and dying as though I'd lived his life and died his death. If one died for all died. I died when he died. I have paid the price of all my sins of yesterday, today and tomorrow in my representative. It happened 2,000 years ago. And when I believe it, the burden of sin is taken away. Justification. Forgive us our sins. It's more than just forgiveness, of course. It's counting us as though we'd never sinned. And it's over us every day. It's not just at the beginning of the Christian life. Justification and sanctification like railway lines that run parallel all the days of our life. So every day my standing before God is not determined by how I'm doing, but how Christ did. If I'm in him by faith. You and I are such natural born legalists. We get depressed because all our many mistakes, we say, how could God tolerate me? How could God love me when I do this and I do this and I slip here and I slip there? I'm not talking, you understand, about the willful, blasphemous pursuit of known evil. I'm not talking about that. No born-again person in connection with Christ by faith can do that. But every born-again person slips, fails, errs, in thought, in word, and deed, repeatedly. And unless we understand that the burden of sin at any moment can be dismissed by the faith in our Saviour who took our guilt, all of it, not just the guilt before you're converted, all of it. The sins of today and yesterday and tomorrow were all dealt with at the cross. The cross is in that petition, forgive us our trespasses. He's done it in the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That sin is a burden. What about sin as a tyrant over us? Lead us not into temptation. There's the tyrant. The whip is cracked for us many times in a day. It may be by our spouse saying something thoughtlessly that touches a bare nerve. It may be by the boss at work who seems to be threatening us about our employment. Maybe someone at church who accidentally says something that they didn't really mean. But the whip of temptation is cracked many times a day over our heads. And there's the tyrant. But the cross delivers from that too. The second look at the cross is, I am crucified with Christ. Temptation doesn't get much shrift with a crucified being. If we really see that we died with him, that we were in him when he died, temptation loses its power. So not only sin as a burden is dissolved by the cross, but sin as a tyrant is taken away because we see we were on that cross, we're now dead to the world. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I'm a dead man to sin. Legally, I have to practice it by faith and I'll have many a failure. But I'm still accepted in the Beloved. I'm still complete in him. There's no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. We are perfectly his children, though we're not perfect children. That's the good news of the gospel. Christians aren't perfect, only forgiven. That's true. Not just a bumper sticker. That's good theology. And what about the presence of sin? We talked about sin as a burden. That's guilt upon us. Remove the justification. We talked about sin as a tyrant over us, tempting us. The battle in sanctification. What about sin? The traitor inside me that made Paul say, oh, in my flesh there's no good thing. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? What about that? Deliver us from evil. There's the promise that ultimately the very presence of sin will be removed. But what have we said? We said that the Lord's Prayer, this wonderful prayer, about 70 words, can be said in 30 seconds, has nothing local or limited in it, whether you're brought up in Palestine, Australia, Alaska, Hawaii, wherever, Thailand, all of this prayer makes sense. One day I thought I'll do something I've wanted to do for years. And I plucked down books of the great literary figures of the centuries and the great religious figures. And I have those books. And I read in each of these books, but they were all stamped by local, limited things that portrayed the time and the place where they were written. They all therefore had limited use. But nothing in the Lord's Prayer is like that. Nothing in the Lord's Prayer Australian. Give thanks for that. Nothing in the Lord's Prayer is American. I don't know how you take that. Nothing in it is local or limited. It's for everybody. And it says, I love you. Here's how to live. And its heart and essence is that God has dealt with sin. We need not fear its guilt. We need not fear its power. We need not fear its presence. The cross is written right through the Lord's Prayer. And the cross should be right through your praying